Lecture 5, 7-day intensive seminar, School to Master, Lecture 5, The Secret, Why I Keep My Affirmations to Myself. I am the greatest power in the universe, and whatever I speak for myself functions. My affirmations put a force into action which is beyond my imagination. Ideas, thoughts, words, actions all have their unique substantive power with practical importance, value, and effect. Now, we were talking a lot in the first hour this morning about the power of our imagination, the power of our thoughts, and I was giving you all sorts of illustrations and just having lots of fun. And we really did a good presentation. We had good stuff. But what value is it if you have good stuff and everybody knows your technique and knows your program and follows it too? Now, I'm aware through Business Week magazine and Fortune and Discovery and many other publications of what's going on in the general world of positive attitudes. And I must say, I was rather surprised to learn about this Mexican fellow and his two sons who have the largest sum of money in the world. They're the richest, the father is the richest man in the world. And of course, you know, he came up because his mother and dad were geniuses and because they had been very wealthy people and because they had had everything and stuff like that. And that's why he became so rich. And of course, the truth is that his parents were very simple people and they're shopkeepers. And he just caught on to an idea and followed it. He caught on to the idea of a certain type of stock. And then he followed that particular stock. And using that particular idea, he built himself into being the richest man in the world. Now, how long will he be the richest man in the world? You see, money escalates very rapidly. And if you have money and you invest it right, that money grows and grows and grows. And if you don't invest it right, the money just sort of falls flat on its face. And that has happened to a lot of people in a lot of places. And this man did not tell anybody what he was doing. He just kept it to himself. And he had his money involved in many other things. He had built up some money. But his real investment, the special one that he has, I'll bring the magazine along for you to see. But the special investment that he had, he told no one about it. He just built it and built it and built it and watched it grow and sort of snickered and giggled in his heart and thought, oh, that's doing real nice, you know. But he didn't tell anybody. He just did it himself. And now, why didn't he tell anybody? Because that was his little jewel. That was his very little special project. He kept it to himself. He kept it his secret. And as long as he kept it his secret, it grew and grew and grew. Then all of a sudden, the world got wind of it because he was so wealthy. And because he surpassed everyone else. Just bypassed them, letting them be in his dust. And so the world wrote story. In fact, this is the first story I'd seen in Business Week about him. And it's a remarkable story. And his two sons are grown men, and they're operating the businesses with him. And he has many investment businesses that he does from Mexico City. Now, who would have thought that Mexico would be the source of the richest man in the world? You know? You think Mexico has a lot of chiselers and people cheating the people out of money that they should have for their schools and for their churches and for their hospitals and for their roads and stuff. But what is that all about? Think about it. The United States government chiseled about the same amount from the people of the United States. The money from the people of the United States goes to the government and in taxes and everything else, and they have so many bureaucratic organizations that they just drink up the money, and also the things don't get made. And there are so many pork bellies, and a pork belly is where the money is spent at the behest of a particular legislative person who wants it for his constituents, who will vote him into office next time, you know. And so these pork bellies are not necessarily something beneficial to the country, but they're just something that makes work in the area of the constituent, of the place where the people live who are voting for this legislative officer. Now, and so, you see, what I'm saying to you is money just clings to people who know how to have it cling to them. And Bill Gates and this guy and Buffett and a few others who are extremely, extremely wealthy, they know how to have money cling to them. But now, what if I were to say to you, these men are multi-billionaires with lots and lots of billions, over, let's say, over $30 to $50 billion. I mean, and even $1 billion is pretty good. Would you say that a person who is, say, with $100 million, that they have a lot of money? It would seem like that, but when you're talking about billions, it doesn't seem so big. But yet, many, many people in the world are very wealthy, and have $100 million. And they have it well invested, and they have a good turnover, and they have good returns. But they too, most of the people who have money don't tell other people they have money. They don't tell people that they have they have a nice house, sometimes very opulent, and they have many things. Now, these positive thinking people like the soup fellow, Jack Canfield, you know, he has, how much was it? $4 million dollar house? $4 million dollar house? Well, why not? You know, he can afford it. But the thing is, $4 million dollar house? And he was so proud to show on his program that he got a $1 million dollar check from his publisher with a happy face on it. And the first check his publisher had written for $1 million. Well, now, you know his publisher made money off of that, too. And so the publisher was happy to write $1 million check to Jack Canfield, because $1 million check written to Jack Canfield meant, was it 3% royalty on the book? 3%? 1 million is 3%? Just imagine what the publishers are making. Of course, it costs them to put out the books and things like that, but nowhere near 97 million dollars. It would be that. Well, perhaps 3% is $1 million, so 97% would be a little less than $97 million. It'd be, say, $75 million. Let's leave it at that. That's pretty nice. And so that's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty good. And but that's just for one book. And he has a dozen books, and they're all doing extremely well. Now, he had not been promoting that aspect of his being up to now because he kept it secret. He kept it secret. They have a movie now called The Secret. It's a book also. And The Secret is supposed to be that the wise men of the ages don't tell the people the secret. Well, now, who can tell me what the secret was that was revealed in the movie? Anybody?
The law of cause and effect. Yeah, law of affection.
They said the secret of the movie, the secret of these wealthy, wealthy, successful people was that they knew how to use the law of cause and
effect. Law of attraction.
Law of attraction, they called it.
Yeah.
We have to say law of attraction because if somebody looks it up in the book and they don't find attraction, they don't find effect, they'll wonder we didn't read it very carefully. But it's the same law as the law of cause and effect, law of attraction. Except I believe that in calling it and using it as the law of attraction, you're attracting something to you from the outside. And if you're going to attract things to you from the outside, you can only attract to you that amount that you think can come to you. Like when Irene was saying, I would like to be wealthy, but not real wealthy. You know, I don't have to have a lot of money, but yes, you have to have a lot of money. You have to have unlimited money. You have to have unlimited money. Will you accept that?
Yes.
Yes, okay. You see, if we ever say limited in any way, then who's doing the limiting? So today, money is worth whatever it's worth. 1 week from now, a big change comes in the money market and everything, and it's like the Germans after World War II. Their money, they had to take a wheelbarrow full of money to go and buy bread. You know? Really, the money lost much of its value, and the Italians are always having trouble with their money market because they're having thousands and millions of lire to accomplish something that, you know, like $50 would do. It's really quite amazing. But again, why I keep my affirmations to myself? Because I have no one to argue with about it. I have no one to discuss it with. I have no one to say, I'm independently wealthy. They say, you're independently wealthy, and you can't even, you know, pay your rent. You can't even buy your shoes. You can't even do this that you want to do. And you're independently wealthy? Okay. Hey, you're making a new cause. Yeah, okay. And people just don't understand the principle. If Robert Williams had brought his flubber to somebody, he showed it to his sweetheart. And what did his sweetheart say after she observed it a little bit? That will speed up transportation. That is for flying. It's for flying. Now, he hadn't even thought of that. He only thought of it was for simple little things like making a car run and, you know, without gasoline or anything else like that, which would be kind of interesting too. But and that could be a very monumental income project. But she thought of flying. Now, what was he interested in? What was Robert Williams, as the absent-minded professor, interested in? He was interested in having fun. What did he do to every one of the things that he created? He made them personalized. He made them with a personality. He made them to love him. He made each one of those things to have a very deep honor and respect for him. You see? Now, his wife, on the other hand, was the businesswoman who was running the university and doing other things like that. Now, she had totally other things on her mind. She wanted to see money coming in that was really going to be helpful. And how could his idea be most beneficial to the world? Now, when he takes an idea, and he would have ideas for his flubber to do things with it that would be very mundane, very ordinary. What was the first thing he did with his flubber? He made the basketball bounce, remember? He made the golf ball jump up in the sky. He made the bowling ball do things. Now, it was a little ludicrous in the bowling ball hitting the guy in the head and just making him knock silly, and seeing he gets up in a minute, he said, what was that, you know? If a bowling ball comes down and hits you on the head like it did him, you wouldn't be around anymore. But that's okay. It was all trying to make it look all very humorous and trying to make it look very wonderful. Now, Do you know that right now, today, under people's mattresses, not money, they have inventions? Do you know that my son Mark, if he were able to have infinite money to do with as he chose, he would not be building his airplanes, he would be building everything else under the sun. Because he is an inventive genius, and he can invent anything. Anybody mention anything to him, and he'll go and invent it. And he'll invent it because it's fun, but he doesn't tell anybody about it until he has it done. And then he tells everybody about it. And he's great with it, but now, what would other people want to do with it? Their first desire would be to market it. They want to sell it. They want to get it on the market. And he doesn't really care. He takes his ultralight airplanes, and he works on his ultralight airplanes, and every month or two, he takes the ultralight airplane and makes it more perfect. He makes more, what do you call them, improvements on the plane to make the plane better. And people steal his design, and then they put out the old plane, but he's got the new plane with the new improvements on. But the thing is, it's just like in the Flubber movie, the other professor would steal the ideas of the absent-minded professor, you know, and make money for himself and do quite nicely. But the thing is, what is the purpose of the ideas that come to his mind? They're his dreams and goals. He has not the slightest thought of having them make money until people tell him. His is to dream, to goal, and that's what I'm suggesting to you here. Why I keep my affirmations to myself? I am the greatest power in the universe, and whatever I speak for myself functions. Now, what are you speaking for yourself? At the moment, you're speaking ill health, limitation, and other problems. That's your choice. Now, when do you want to change? And to what do you want to change? I will go around the room right now, and I would like each one of you to speak up so we can hear it nicely. And if you don't speak up, I don't give a damn. So we're going to go around the room, and I'm going to say to each one of you, do you have a wildest dream? And do you want to share your wildest dream? And what benefit is your wildest dream? Okay? Let's start in the middle here with Sylvia. Sylvia, what is your wildest dream, and what is your benefit from your wildest dream?
To be myself and have fun.
Now, that's not acceptable. I'm talking about your wildest dream as far as my wildest dream, for instance, is to have the privilege of traveling around the world, giving lectures and seminars on this philosophy that I have here, and sharing it with people. And my wildest dream is having people understand it the first time around and use it and apply it in their lives. That's my wildest dream. Be myself and have fun, obviously, you know.
No, I mean, my wildest dream is in my heart. And
something private?
Yeah.
Okay,
and
fine.
The benefit is of my wildest dream is to be myself and have fun.
Yeah, well, you see, if you have your wildest dream in your heart and it's not something you want to share, you just say, "It's my wildest dream is in my heart."
My wildest dream is okay. In my heart.
Irene? Do you want to say what your... Well, I told you what my wildest dream was. Now, your wildest dream can be anything, or you can keep it in your heart, whatever you want. Yeah, like, I've given you each the opportunity. Can you see why you can't have your wildest dream? Can you see why you can't have it? Because you really cannot verbalize it or vocalize it to yourself even. Like Irene says, and it's a good thing. I mean, all of you are probably saying, you know, because, Ingeborg, what's your wildest dream? What is your...
First of all, being independently wealthy.
Go on.
And then I would like...
Now, don't say I'd like. This is what you do. What do you do?
Program or create...
What's that?
Create for every necessary for a man or a woman, for a person, a special equipment that they can take off from the land and fly like an airplane.
You want to create a device that can be used by humans to fly where?
For instance, to fly short distances.
In other words, okay.
Shopping.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. I'm just, do you have any idea what it might look like? You don't have to, but do you?
Well, it is, you have a special suit and a device like an automobile.
Well, why do you need a suit and if you're going to have an automobile?
To protect for the strong air.
Oh, you're sitting outside on your vehicle. Your vehicle's not enclosed.
No.
I see. Okay. And you plan on going extreme distances, like to different stars and planets and stuff, huh? I mean, you know, because if you're just traveling...
This is the next program.
Oh, that's the next program. Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. All right. Rochelle, what is your wildest dream, craziest, most fantastical thing, if you want to share it? To what?
Beam myself.
Seeing yourself anywhere?
Beam.
Oh, beam me up, Scotty. Oh, yeah. That's great. So you would like to be able to beam yourself wherever you chose to be. Anything else?
And have a personal masseuse.
And what?
A personal masseuse.
Hey, cool. Ellen had one. Yeah, he died. But no, she had one all the time she was in Europe, and all the time she was there, and her family had the same guy, and but he died recently. But she had her personal masseuse, and she promised me that he was going to give me a massage, but he never did. You know, just talk. You know how that is. But a personal massage, cool. Gregor doesn't do the job. Yeah. I like the smile. I like that. That's great. Yeah, Gregor is real great. Okay, Ellen, you want to give us your greatest, most wild dream of if you had the chance to demonstrate anything that you would like to have demonstrated right now, can you describe what it might be?
You have to speak my word and have it demonstrated. That's my wildest dream. Anything I want to speak my word for.
In other words, Ellen's saying, I am the greatest power in the universe, and whatever I speak for myself functions. That's the second line there.
Oh, didn't even see that.
I read it. Okay. That's okay. But that's an...
Yeah, that's exactly that.
Okay. Then hang on to it. Gregor, what sort of thing? You want to go to masseuse or massage school to improve your technique?
I would like to know it just intuitively.
You want to know what?
I would like to know these kinds of things intuitively.
Well, no. Don't say that. I know all techniques for giving beautiful massages intuitively.
It's not the wildest dream.
but you brought it up, so it's obviously something on your mind. But I intuitively know all the massage techniques that I choose to know. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, what's your wildest dream, old buddy?
Well, the thing is now, when you started out, you said it must be some kind of dream. It's changed now with Ellen, she's just... She has more of a general thing, you know.
She has more of a general, you know. Well, no, she wants to speak her word and accomplish whatever she speaks her word for.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the things.
That's what you want to do too?
You know, I don't want to reveal my secret.
Well, hey, you don't have to reveal it.
But there's just some other things that I like, and one of them is definitely teleportation.
All right. You and Ingeborg get together on that there. You might have some. Because, you see, Ingeborg, with teleportation, there's no wind. And you don't need any suit. You don't need anything. You know, you just go from nudist camp to nudist camp. Okay, that's your dream, huh?
Well, that's one of them.
One of them. Okay, hey, that's okay. That's
there's some wild ones. I mean, there's some.
Has he told you those too? Sometimes? Maybe not all of them.
Just like, for instance, with this body to be able to, how should I say, be untouched by
my body is impervious to the atmosphere, or my impervious means it's untouched by the atmosphere.
Okay, I'll teleport under the ocean and just lay there and enjoy the fish, and they don't have to breathe, they don't have to do anything. I just enjoy and I'm untouched, like things like that.
Now, do you want to just be there, or do you want to interact with the ocean while you're down there? Do you want to swim around? You want to talk to the fish and the other creatures and know them?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you see, that's...
Or make myself invisible. You know, dive into a mountain inside and just sleep in the ice and just enjoy myself.
Are you merging with the mountain, or are you being invisible? What would be your purpose of being invisible?
No, that's just one of them.
Oh, to be invisible and to merge with the mountain.
To be visible, okay. You know, to do all these things and just enjoy myself. Like, I'm laying naked in the snow and in the ice, and I'm completely untouched. I just enjoy myself. And
True. Now, you see, the thing is, when you are one as all, as you already are, but you don't recognize it yet, then those things you do. Now, Donald, tell us, you're Donald.
Right.
Tell me, Richard Bach, how I walk through walls.
I don't walk through walls.
Well, tell me. I don't want to hear you don't walk through walls. You're the wall's there, and then you're there, and then you're not there. Now, what do you do? Where did you go?
I'm just one as the wall, and I merge, you know.
And? But you came out the other side.
Yeah, I can manifest myself any way I want. Well, basically, this dream is what I believe for myself. It's like I said yesterday, I'm spiritually enlightened. Once I'm done, then I'm completely...
Are you trying to tell me that you are a spiritually illumined master right now and enjoying all the benefits of that?
Okay.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, that's actually...
That sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Because why go for one aspect if I can just have one...
Well, no, if you chose that picture, you'd have all aspects.
That's what I mean. That's actually how I understand.
Yeah, see, then you'd have all aspects.
That's something I have to...
Well, you don't go labeling them once you've determined you're going to have them all. And you don't label them which ones you're going to have, because you are them whenever you choose to be them. And then, because just like we said of God, God knows all, is all, through all, but the moment God becomes individuated, the moment God becomes Gregor Mueller, then God is not Herb Byerly. But when God is all, he is Gregor Mueller and Herb Byerly, you see?
Yeah.
But God doesn't know that.
The thing is, it's kind of being in a body and being able to be aware of it. Like you, and play in between, you know, so you can play these games but still be...
Well, if that is what your choice is, then you want to create yourself as a divine human. Now, can you do that?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that's the answer. I am. All right. Now, I am going to make a demand upon you that is going to reveal everything about you totally right now. There'll be nothing hidden. When will you do that?
It's done. I am.
When will you be like Harry Potter and use the invisibility cloak, and when will you not?
I don't need a cloak.
Why?
Because I am whatever I am by myself.
Why? You are seen by anyone you want to be seen by, and you are not seen by anyone you do not want to be seen by. You don't say you don't want to be seen by. But you're only seen by those people you want to be seen. And everybody else has not the vaguest idea you are anywhere within 100 million miles.
Okay.
And that makes sense, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's quite interesting. Now, do you think Heinz can come up with anything?
Yes.
And sir, what musical, mystical, magical, wonderful thing are you going to reveal to us and make us feel jealous of you?
It's pretty short and simple kiss. Okay. You reveal the last place, what I am.
It's done. Mm-hmm. It's done. Now, are you happy?
Absolutely.
Now, is there anything to protect yourself from in this world?
What's that?
Is there anything to protect yourself from in this world? Do you have to protect yourself from other people's ideas, other people's dreams, other people's goals?
Protect.
What's that?
It's not in my vocabulary, the word protect.
Protect is not in your vocabulary. Well, that's why I put it in mine. Because I couldn't find it in yours. Okay, now.
It's one of those things.
Huh?
One of those negative things you...
That's right. That's right. All right, Gregor.
Yeah.
Big fat ass, big nose. What should you have said? When he said it's not in his vocabulary or something like that, what should you have said?
What I should have said.
I'm sorry.
Oh, not what I should have said. Jesus,
no. What should you have said about him? You just said something else. What did you say about him? What did you say about that the word? What did you say?
Energy.
Energy.
What?
It's one of these words that you make energy from.
You make enemies of.
Energy.
Energy from. Oh, is that what you said?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, but what we are working on, Heinz, we'll let them in on it. What we're working on is that those words you make energy from don't exist, period. And the substance behind those words that give them a purpose for being don't exist. They have no existence, not even in our thought. Make sense? So, in other words, any negative type word which we were building energy on before, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Any energy type word, negative type word of any type, is not, as Heinz would say, in his vocabulary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you say that, Gregor?
No, Heinz.
Heinz said it's not in your... Well, Heinz wasn't admitting to it. It's not in your vocabulary, because Heinz is saying that in his vocabulary doesn't even use the word vocabulary. His vocabulary, if you will, has one word.
Be.
What word?
Peace.
Hmm?
Peace.
Peace?
Peace.
I-S.
Is. Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. Is. All right. Now, is that true?
Yeah.
Is it an is? Is everything an is?
Yes.
Now, what about your dream? Are we going to get the airplane for Ingeborg? Or the masseur for Ellen? Hers has been kaput for a while.
Already is.
It already is. Good. Okay. Now, you know what you said, didn't you?
Right.
And you're happy with what you said.
Right.
You're not confused.
Right.
You looked at me as though you were confused.
Right.
As though you wanted me to say more. Always. Okay. My affirmations put a force into action which is beyond my imagination. And the word force is singular, so the word is singular. And my affirmations put a force, a singular force, into action which is beyond my imagination. Now, what force do they put in motion? What force do they put in action?
Whatever thought that put into.
Well, I want you to be more careful than that. What is the force of the universe? You might say my thought, you know, and that's not the word I'm looking for. What force is it that is beyond my imagination in the universe? What force is it that everything depends upon?
Attitude.
Energy, vibration.
Atom.
What?
The atoms.
Atom. Okay. No, we have to go back to Heinz again.
Is.
Right, the is. The is the only force in the universe. It's the only, because the is everything. The is the energy, the non-energy, it is the beingness, the non-beingness. The is the absolute. See?
But it's not like a force. It's
I'm sorry?
It's not like a force. It just sits still, kind of.
It's nothing.
It's nothing.
It's
just. It's not activated. It's activated by my thought, but otherwise it's just an is. It's, you know,
well,
it's
what makes you think a force has to be active? Go ahead.
It's like a stem cell. It needs
You're moving into the next statement here, huh? Good for you. She said, what about the stem cell, which we might think of as an is? It is undifferentiated. It has no purpose, no direction, no activity. But it can do everything. It can be everything. It can.
It is.
It is everything. It because it's the is.
Just like a drop in the ocean, a little drop has everything.
Yeah. It's an is.
But why would you call is a force?
Why not?
Well, because it sounds like.
It sounds like an active word, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, my life is good. My life is bad. My life is rich. My life is poor. My life. What's the active word there?
Is.
Is. Is the active word for all existence. Now, we don't think. We think isness, you know. It without action, without movement, without motion to it. But isness is a beingness. It is not really a verb. Is like a verb, and it's like an action, and it's like the totality of all the universe. What is the isness of the universe?
It's the
allness.
Is the nothingness.
Yeah. Well, here we say ideas, thoughts, words, actions all have their unique substantive power with practical importance, value, and effect. So, all have their unique substantive power. What does Ellen, what does substantive mean?
Material. Material power, sir.
Material?
Yeah.
What does substantive mean to you, Irene?
Something with form and concrete.
What is your meaning of the word substantive?
Significant.
Excuse me?
Significant.
Yeah, significant. Practical importance. Ellen, did you say?
No, I didn't. But I would also say significant.
Heinz?
I would get a dictionary.
That's a good thing, too. Go get one. And Greg, what do you think?
Substantial.
Substantial. Now, what does sub start with the word? Substance. Substance. It has substance to it. It has an essence to it. It has is to it.
Like a foundation, kind of a base.
Essential.
Essential.
Substantial.
Just.
Yeah.
But it's the significant.
Well, that's what the word means. Ideas, thoughts, words, actions all have their substantive power. Their substantial power, their...
Possible power?
Well, it's not a matter of possible. It's actual. They got it. That they can use it. You know, because the power is there. And it's not possible that they have it's
potential.
You know, you might say potential.
That's what I mean.
Potential,
that's
yeah.
What I mean. Yeah.
Because it could potentially have use.
Right.
That car potentially could take you to town.
It could drive. Potentially it can drive.
Yeah. So that's a good word too.
Yeah.
Now we don't have a possibility book. We just have a potential book.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what is your thinking? And we'll let Ellen look at that for a moment. So, you each now have had a chance to come up with something that might be significant for you, substantive for you, and might make change your whole life, if you wish. But when you walk out this door, do you have one thought in your mind? I like me. Do you have one thought in your consciousness? I like me. Do you have one thought that says, I'm God, I am the creative power of the universe, I can do anything I choose to do? Do you have one thought? Now, if you do, that's good. Now, keep it. And for your next step, each step along the way, you want to say to yourself, I like me. Each step along the way, you want to say, all is in divine order. Each step along the way, you want to say, I am peace. See, as you say each one of these things continuously, pretty soon you're not going to know yourself in any other way. That will be the only thing you'll know about yourself. Nice. You can do that. But it takes a little bit of direction on your part to do it. What sort of direction does it take on your part to do it?
One-pointedness.
Discipline.
Discipline, yeah. One-pointed discipline, where you are putting the cause into motion for that perfect way that you want to do it. Okay, now, think about these things. Are you ready to exercise that? Are you ready to take this secret that you have revealed and you have not revealed? And perhaps some of you revealed a secret and not the really one that's deep in your heart that you really want to accomplish. But you're going to have to be open with yourself about it. Not me or anybody else. Open with yourself. You're going to have to say, my only choice, not goal, because I already am there. My only choice is to be my master self. My only choice is to be my divine self. My only choice is to be the is, the absolute, the all. You see, when Sylvia had the word absolute ends, you know, as her, what?
My email address.
Her email address. She thought she was so cool. And now there are several Viagra companies and other types of companies that are using her name, Absolute Ends, to pitch the the great penises and the great sex type stuff. Really, it comes up on this computer here, in fact. It comes up on my emails, and Absolute Ends. Yeah. And I think to myself, is this from Sylvia? And then it goes on to say, special bargain rates, you know. And I think to myself, I think somebody's gone off here improperly. Did you protect your email address? How?
Well, just we spam filters and...
What?
We spam filters and...
No. You protect your email address with Daniel, and it is registered and should not be touched by anybody else. And if you don't register it through Daniel, through our email program, then anyone can fool with it.
Well, the email comes from Daniel, yeah. It's like your email and Ellen's email, they all postmaster code unique.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry I spoke my word and investigated or entered into that area of your life, but you're welcome. So let's take these thoughts now, and let's work on them, and let's put them the way we want to. Yes, Ellen?
Substantive.
Okay, you want to tell us what it means. You want to read it, including the beginning phrases.
Okay, substantive having substance. From the French, one is substantial. Then, being a totally independent entity. 2A, real rather than apparent. Firm, also permanent, enduring. B, belonging to the substance of a thing. Essential, expressing existence. And then it says the substantive verb is the verb to be. And then D, requiring or involving no mordant.
Modem?
Mordant.
M-O-R-D-A-N-T. No mordant?
Nothing that bites.
Oh, nothing...
Involving no mordant.
A vicious action or
substantive dying aggressiveness. Process.
What's that?
A substantive dying process.
Okay.
Having the nature or function of a grammatical substantive. I think now we're going.
Yes, I think so too.
But
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. It always pays to look these things up because we get ideas, and oftentimes we have ideas preconceived of what things mean, and they can mean many more things. And we want to be broad with them, because if we're using the word, somebody else may have a different definition that they're accustomed to using, and we want to flow with it. Okay, we will prepare for lunch, and after lunch we'll have lecture 6, Stem Cells, The Entire Universe Mind at Work. So be ready for that, and I have some literature here that we're going to be going over, which is kind of fascinating. I'll just read you a title or two. Stem Cells, A Breakdown, and Cord Stem Blood Cells Explained. Bone marrow stem cells germinate into sperm cells. Adult heart cells found in the same capacity as the embryonic stem cell. And then intermediate stem cells extracted from baby teeth. Skin cells show potential to grow new organs. What is stem cell therapy, and what conditions can be treated, and things like that. And are there any known side effects to the therapy of using stem cells? And things, it's kind of fascinating stuff. A couple travels to China to remedy inherited brain disorder. Media suppress adult stem cell breakthrough for heart valves and stuff like that. Kind of fascinating. But great news, embryonic stem cells unnecessary. And I got tons more here. New York woman feels good enough to dance after stem cell treatment. Novotestular testicular cancer treatment developed at Indiana University. Woman's heart rebuilt with stem cells. How to mend a broken heart with stem cells. How about that? So, be ready for a wonderful adventure after lunch, and we will see you then, and I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.